Greetings and welcome to another edition of The Debate, coming to you live from our studios in Tehran. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Now, in the wake of a series of deadly attacks and also on the occasion of major Muslim feast of sacrifice, the Afghan president has offered a three-month ceasefire to the Taliban militants. Well, that request was responded by the Taliban militants attacking three buses and taking some 160 passengers hostage. The militant group has also rejected the truce offer, saying that foreign forces could maintain their presence in that case. Now, we're going to discuss the situation in Afghanistan in the debate show today. But first off, let's get an update from Press TV correspondent in the Afghan capital, Kabul, Amin Alamin. I mean, what's the security situation like 17 years after the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan?
Of course, particularly the story of peace and war in Afghanistan, its tale remains even as unknown for the people here. Particularly regarding to the latest stains of Taliban militant group to the recent conditional peace offer by the Afghan government, we can say that unlike Taliban's previous reaction to Kabul's unconditional peace offer that in June that created a ceasefire for 3 days, the militant group rejected such an offer this time. This comes while the Afghan president, Mohammad Ashraf Ghani, recently declared a three-month ceasefire with the militant group, but according to the Afghan president, this ceasefire is not unconditional, but it is conditional. In response to such a conditional peace offer by the Afghan president, the Taliban militant group not only stopped three buses in northern part of Afghanistan, but they have also attacked various parts across southeastern, eastern, southern and western parts of this country, particularly in southeastern Ghazni province of Afghanistan, where was the scene of deadly attack of Taliban and its heavy presence over the city for nearly 5 days. However, analysts here believe that the rejection of a conditional peace offer of the Afghan government by the Taliban proves that they are after other major goals, including the withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan as their main demand to join peace negotiations with the Afghan government. Secondly, let's not forget that Afghanistan is going to hold parliamentary elections in October. Therefore, the Taliban militant group has not joined this recent peace offer by the Afghan government in order to freely target or attack more targets across Afghanistan, particularly during the elections here. And that is why, that is because they want to prove their capabilities here on the ground in Afghanistan and to finally force Washington in order to directly talk with the Taliban regarding to the peace in Afghanistan. But however, the people here in Afghanistan also look to the peace process and their own country as a political game. Most of the people here on the streets of Afghanistan even blame not only some leaders inside the Afghan government, but also some foreign players for even intentionally backing terrorist groups inside this country in order to further wage the war inside their homeland. And they argued that such an attempt and such a strategy is to follow the interests of bigger players in Afghanistan, not only in Afghanistan, but also across the region.
All right, I appreciate that update. That was Amin Alamin, our correspondent, joining us from the Afghan capital, Kabul. Now, let me introduce the guests that are going to join us. We'll have former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett joining us from San Francisco, and then Next Century Foundation Secretary General William Morris, who is joining us from London. Thank you both for being on the debate show today. Now, let me start with Mr. Bennett in San Francisco. Well, 17 years pass after the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, well, with the stated aim of destroying the Taliban militant group. Well, the Taliban has not been defeated yet. So why has this U.S.-led invasion failed to destroy the militant group?
Well, when we look at Afghanistan, we have to start from the very beginning. And the beginning was September 11th, 2001, when the American people were lied to, and the great false flag attack engineered by the Israeli Mossad, the CIA, and other places, the Saudis were involved. That event of attacking the Pentagon and the Twin Towers was used as the trigger mechanism, this larger juggernaut of Middle East conquest, and it started with Afghanistan. After 18 years, we've come to the absolute scientific conclusion that the government narrative is impossible, therefore a lot of false flag operation occurred, and that is the greatest betrayal of the American people and the world, I think, in the history of civilization. And that's a war crime, and it should be prosecuted as such. So Afghanistan was a complete false adventure, really for other means and other operations, some of which included the poppy drug domination of that market. But all of that being said, we now have $60 billion being spent every year on American military presence in Afghanistan. It serves the American people nothing. There's no value. The Taliban did not attack the United States, and Osama bin Laden allegedly being held by them or giving refuge by them is another false adventure. The Taliban had said if there's any proof of any crime, they would turn him over. That was never done. So the American military has went over and started another Vietnam, I'm very sad to say. It didn't learn the lessons of history. It didn't learn from the British Empire in the 1800s. It didn't learn from the Russians. And instead, we've been bogged down with this misadventure, this neoconservative fantasy of being able to take a country which many would say are hundreds of years behind modern society, and we're going to try and quicken, transform, try and turn them into good little democrat capitalists, and that's not going to happen. And I think you see the Taliban and the Afghan government and the people of Afghanistan uniting around the idea that they don't want foreign troops in their country, nor do the American people want foreign troops. The American people are now really rising up saying all of these wars from Afghanistan, Iraq, to Libya, to Syria, and now the ambitions against Iran, all of this is unconstitutional. All of these were lies camouflaged as wars for feeding a military-industrial complex. So I think that's the heart of the American presence in Afghanistan and elsewhere, is this American military-industrial complex that has ambitions of full-spectrum dominance, controlling the major natural resources of the world, but the world, I think, is rising and turning against that.
Okay, let's go to London now. Let me ask William Morris. The U.S. military intervention in Afghanistan has failed to bring calm to this country. It's also cost Washington dearly in terms of money and also soldiers. How much longer should this go on?
Well, just to be clear, first and foremost, I mean, to call 9/11 a false flag event is beyond comprehension, or it really is extraordinary in my view, and I'm astonished to hear any American say that. Moving on to Afghanistan,
well,
the
science,
the situation now is quite. You spoke for some time.
Gentlemen,
it's my turn to speak now, if you don't mind.
Avoid getting on tangents, please. Let's talk about Afghanistan now, please.
Yeah.
William Morris.
In terms of Afghanistan, yes, the situation now is quite dire, obviously, and our people on the ground are telling us that the hospitals are full, indeed over full, with casualties. With trauma wounds, and these are civilian and as well as fighters. It's very hard to get the casualties into the hospitals from places like Ghazni, where the fighting is worst. There's fighting, of course, in other places like Lashkargah. So the situation is dire at the moment. When I say the hospitals are full, they are fuller than they have ever been in recent years. So the situation is is very serious indeed. The fighting is very savage, and prospects for the future are not good. The Taliban is a disorganized rabble. You have some groups loyal to Pakistan's ISI, you have other groups loyal to nobody but themselves, and you have a weak government in Afghanistan which is clamoring for some sort of ceasefire but can't find its way forward, and so we have a very difficult situation. How long should we go on now? Well, if we have a genuine agenda to build peace that involves some sort of real approach to the Afghan problem, that is a problem-solving approach, then we should go on with making some effort. But if we're just going to prop up a lame duck government and go nowhere, then it's time to come away and give up. But there are things that can be done. The elections are not the answer. The elections were delayed, are delayed since 2016. Elections now, this year, later this year, if they take place, will be a bit of a farce. I mean, much of Afghanistan is in chaos, so proper elections can't take place.
Okay, well, come to that point as regards the management, or some people call it mismanagement on the part of the Kabul government. Let me ask Scott Bennett, the question is how you size up the U.S. policy in Afghanistan since the 2001 invasion of the country.
Well, since 2001, when the American troops went in, it's went in with the objective of overthrowing the current regime and trying to establish a neoconservative, American-friendly regime and government. But they didn't take into calculation the religious, social, cultural dimensions of the country. They didn't look beyond the economic. And they really had the ambitions of going in and targeting the natural resources. Again, the opium and the poppy fields for the illicit drug trade have been a major factor in continuing the American military presence there. I know because I wore the military uniform. I was an officer. I also had a top secret clearance and worked in the Pentagon, worked in the State Department. I saw all of this. Your other guest, if he hasn't worn the uniform, has no clue what he's talking about, other than from the grand design of the chessboard and these theoretical calculations. And I certainly wouldn't trust the British to do anything with regards to elections in Afghanistan, considering the election meddling that they involve themselves with Donald Trump and the Christopher Steele fiasco and all of this that is now coming out. So the British have a different agenda and a different interest in Afghanistan than the American people do. The American people and the Constitution of the United States established that this entire adventure was a war crime. It wasn't a war where the United States was defending itself against an attack. That was a complete fabrication. And really, the American people should throw down the gauntlet to Donald Trump and say, as Commander-in-Chief, you need to remove all American troops from Afghanistan because there is not one single American life worth losing for a country that does not like us, does not want us there, and has nothing to offer us, because we've also lost our political cachet. The only country that seems to be coming in with any sort of neutrality, sadly, is China and Russia. Because the United States has caused so much devastation. And I would agree on that one point, that there is massive devastation of the infrastructure and the lives. And there is no positive that you could possibly walk away with, because when the United States pulls out, and its troops inevitably will, like Vietnam, you will have another Cambodian situation. You'll have another massive civil war in the country. So the question has evolved, how do you remove the United States without having Afghanistan fall apart into a complete chaotic, bloody civil war? And it has to be, I think, along the fracturization, the tribalization lines, because you can't force peoples and tribes to integrate. That was the major failure by the United States. They didn't realize the tribal differences and the personality differences within the tribes and the cultures that make up the mosaic of the Middle East.
Okay.
And because they didn't understand that, they've constantly been losing and losing American lives and treasure, and it's a complete waste. So we certainly should pull out very quickly, but try and do it in a way that will cause the minimum damage to the Afghanistan social political structure. But that can only be done with partners such as Russia and China and Iran, I would say.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that at the end of the show. We'll come to that definitely. William Morris in London, you mentioned the fact that let's call it mismanagement on the part of the Kabul government. A reporter also said when talking to some Afghan people in the streets, some of them were critical of the management, or rather mismanagement on the part of the Kabul government. Let's have your take on that and expound on it a little bit more.
Yes, well, of course, we have a situation in which Afghanistan is rife with corruption, and there is very grave difficulties in terms of governance. To be a governor in Afghanistan, you have to buy your governorship, and then to recoup the money that you've had to pay to be a governor, you have to take bribes. I mean, the whole system is rife with corruption, but the underlying problems are there. We have a kind of proxy war between India and Pakistan. We have other factors. The various players are playing their various games, and it is tragic to see what's going on. We need a strong central government, and we need then, but not centralized in the sense that it works without the tribes. You need actual provincial government that is effective, with effective tribal control. You need the old lawyer Jirga system. There are ways forward, but I don't think America has the will to look at trying to rescue Afghanistan politically, and the political system that Afghanistan has is currently broken, and you have no way forward with the present political system, in my view.
All right. Scott Bennett, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has said, and I'm quoting him, that we remain committed to facilitating militants' direct negotiations with the Kabul government, and that there is no obstacle in the way. It's time for peace. This is a direct quotation. Does he really believe in what he's saying? I mean, does the U.S. really seek peace in Afghanistan?
No, Mike Pompeo is delusional, and as many of the people are among Trump's administration. And it saddens me because I like President Trump, but he has so many people around him that are complete idiots or neoconservative fascists or warmongers that have a psychopathic, sociopathic tendency. These people are beyond hope, and they certainly should be removed from making decisions at the highest levels of the American government. Pompeo and John Bolton and Nikki Haley and these fantasy theorists that think that the American full-spectrum dominance agenda of global hegemony is going to work somehow. It's still going to be able to be pulled out. They're still going to be able to manage to conquer Afghanistan, Iran, Russia, and China in another decade. These people are suicidal, and that's why the American people are rejecting them, and I think Donald Trump better be wise to remove them very quickly, because if there is a major conflict that arises, he will be blamed, and he could be impeached, and it could be a very quick one term for him. But if he removes these people from decision making, Mike Pompeo and John Bolton and these others that don't seem to understand the 18 years of war have generated nothing but hostility, ruin, death, carnage, destruction of the civilizations from Libya to Syria to Iraq to Afghanistan, and the world has had enough, and they're not going to tolerate anymore. They're not going to tolerate Syria falling, and that's why you see Iran, Russia, and Syria, and China, and now Turkey coming together in a massive paradigm shift. And I think you'll have many European countries coming on the side of Russia and these other countries, because they're sick and tired of the refugees that have been sent into their country that have caused all sorts of social cultural upheaval and have given rise to the right-wing groups in Europe. So there's massive civil war and unrest in Europe as a result of this American destruction that started in Afghanistan. And for people like Pompeo and General Votel and U.S. Central Command's James Mattis and many others to be doubling down on this failed policy is just going to equal billions of dollars being wasted, thousands of more American lives being shattered, families being shattered. And it's absolutely unnecessary. It is the modern-day Vietnam.
Okay,
Many of us knew it. Scott, I was going to just ask you, we're running out of time.
So I'm sorry to interrupt you. We're running out of time. If you could, first, we'll go to London. William Morris, what's your prescription for resolving the Afghan problem? Very briefly, please.
Well, in my view, of course, America had no choice but to go in, given the circumstances of 9/11. But then, subsequently, the situation
That's
has been mishandled in by ourselves. And we have acted without proper care and attention to the needs of the Afghan people. If we can establish some sort of tribal governance, and it's not too late to do that, with lawyer Jirgas, and if we can establish a strong central government, removing the present shower of people, or allowing the Afghan people to remove them and put in somebody that is, and there are people in the wings who are strong and sensible, who could come in and deliver traditional governance. But I don't think America has the will to do that. That's the tragedy, therefore we should probably step aside.
Okay, Scott Bennett, very quickly, please, let's have your comments on that.
I wouldn't trust anybody that has any sympathies or affections towards Britain or America to be a politician or a diplomat or a leader in Afghanistan. Every Afghanistan person that rises for political office should be swearing an oath to the Afghanistan people and the Afghanistan culture and resources and the integrity as a country and have no affiliation with Britain or NATO or America. That's the way to secure the love in the hearts and minds of the Afghan people. It's because they despise this foreign meddling that they've constantly been engaged in conflict with us. And again, the 9/11 event was the greatest lie in history, and it always needs to be shown scientifically and historically because that is the war crime that will be prosecuted eventually and starts with Afghanistan.
Allocate some time to 9/11.
Delusional.
Okay, I should thank both our guests. We had former U.S. Army Psychological Warfare Officer Scott Bennett from San Francisco and Next Century Founding Secretary General William Morris joining us from London. Thank you both gentlemen for being on The Debate, and we'll see you next time.